Chapter 12. Sleep was hard to come by the night of the tornado. I tossed and turned, dozing, moving in and out of restless dreams. Finally, I threw back the sheet, padded downstairs to the kitchen, and reached for the aspirin bottle. One baby aspirin, a small piece of bread, a cup of milk. These things usually quieted my frazzled nerves. I froze, the aspirin in my hand. What was that noise? It sounded as if someone had stepped on a creaky floorboard on my front porch. I hadn't bothered to turn on the light when I came downstairs. Nightlights in the house and the dusk-to-dawn light in the yard provided enough illumination. I tiptoed from the kitchen to the front room. Ulysses had followed me downstairs and now padded along beside me, the hair on his neck standing up. I dropped my hand onto his head. "Shh," I whispered. "Don't bark, Ulysses." We crept toward the window, hugging the wall. My heart was playing a tattoo against my chest as I cautiously moved the curtain and peeked out. I froze. A dark shape stood inches away, trying to pry up the window. Mo Decker? Was the intruder Mo, out for revenge? This was too much for Ulysses. He growled and lunged toward the glass, fangs bared. With his front feet on the windowsill, he barked and snarled, a furry menace with his very sharp teeth. The person on my porch looked up. In the darkness, all I could see were two beady eyes. Was it a man or a woman? A hand flashed out, pulled a hood down over its face. Then the figure whirled and jumped off the porch. A door slammed and a dark car roared down the driveway, past the carriage house, and onto the street. I slid down the wall, my breath coming in hard gasps. I sat on the floor, waiting for my heartbeat to return to normal. Ulysses pressed against me, licking my face. "Oh, Ulysses," I muttered, "the best thing I ever did was adopt you." Pushing myself up, I returned to the kitchen, my legs shaking. I poured leftover coffee into a cup, put it in the microwave for a few seconds, and, with my reheated brew, sank into a kitchen chair. I reached for my phone, ready to punch in Cade's number. Then I noticed the time. 3 a.m. He'd had a hard day and hopefully was sleeping. The intruder hadn't made it into the house. I had seen the car speeding toward the street. Nothing would be gained by waking Cade. He had enough on his mind without worrying about a break-in that hadn't happened. It's a strange thing with coffee. It should have jangled my already frazzled nerves, but instead, it steadied me. Anger took the place of fear. How dare someone try to break into my house? What was he after? What would he have done if he had gotten in? "Come on, Ulysses," I said to my faithful protector. "You scared him off, and we're safe." Hurrying upstairs, I took the handgun from the drawer of my bedside table. Ulysses followed me back to the dining room, the room with a fireplace and a love seat in front of it. Laying the gun on a side table, I huddled down on the sofa and pulled an Afghan over me. My mind raced, going over and over the events of the last few days. I didn't think I'd ever feel safe enough to sleep again. I repeated Psalm 91. The Lord was with us. He would protect us. I meant to sit there, my ears straining to catch every sound, until the sun came up, but little by little, my taut muscles relaxed. Finally, I slid down on the cushions, and sleep overtook me.